Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Preaching for profit. I can't give this up. All these guys that are following him, they left their everything. They left their wives, their houses, their fishing boats, walked away. I just can't do it. Matthew walked away from money. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have the religious aspect. That's the bondage. That's the bondage they couldn't walk away from. Money, useless. It's a tool. You follow God with all your heart, you'll have what you need when you need it. You don't have to plan for what you need, because God will apply it and give it to you when you need it if you follow him with all your heart. That's free financial advice today.
Very sound.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Verse 9, the wise men are ashamed, they're dismayed and taken because they know the truth. Pharisee, religious Christian, you're in the same boat, you know. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord for religion, for process. And what wisdom is in them? Question mark. There is no wisdom in religion. Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even to the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They all love money and power, and in that they will find death. He says right there, basically, everything's going to be taken from them because they will not survive. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. What does religion do to you, Christian? It gives you a warm fuzzy about the way you are and the things that you do and the life that you live. Yes. That's exactly what they said. The people were hurting because they'd lost their knowledge of God. They didn't know the Almighty God of Israel anymore. And what did the priests do? They've slightly healed the daughter of my people, saying, with religion, oh, you'll be okay. Put your money in the offering plate and bring a turtle dove. Mm-hmm. Go in peace, my child. Yes. Saying peace. There it is. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love it when that happens. Yeah. Saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. If that is not a total disqualification of religion, I've never seen it. God says, be very careful. Religion is not going to save you. Talking about the priests there and their religious customs in their time of visitation. That's when they meet the Almighty. They'll be cast down, saith the Lord. But Lord, I was in your house every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, and every time we had a chicken dinner. And which house was that? Oh, that was the First Mezzanine Baptist over on 6th Street. Looks over at Gabriel, says, Gabriel shakes his head. No, he says, well, I'm sorry, I'd never been to that church. I'm sorry, I'm a little lighthearted today. But that's the way it is. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. The blessings of God he will not give if you don't follow him with all your heart. Religion will not bring you blessings. Religion brings you bondage. The law is bondage and death and separation from God. Christian, Paul says all things are legal for the Christian through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But not all things are good for the Christian. Everything must be kept in moderation. Christ gave two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says, if you do this, you have placed the law. You have fulfilled the law. And if you do this, I will take care of the rest. Because there is things inside you that will manifest at times. But Paul says, it is not me that does the evil. It is the sin that lives inside me. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, it will not triumph over me. Does that mean you will not ever sin? No, absolutely not. Christ has made a way to overcome it, even though it manifests itself inside you sometimes. And we call it sin. We call it backsliding. Whatever you want to call it. But if you're following God with all your heart, David, King David, you will go into those trying times when you will give in to sin and back. I can't even call David's sins backsliding. Now that's like turn the dragster around and floor it the opposite direction. That wasn't just backing up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the most atrocious sins that you could do, except for number one, he didn't break. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. David would not do that. But murder, yeah. Lying, yeah. Covetousness, yeah. You can place stealing on there. He went right down the list. Checked them all off. But God said two chapters later, it's a man after my own heart, a man with a perfect heart, because he followed me. He recognized his sin. He repented. He followed me. But there was never a time, even in the midst of the sin, there was never a time that David didn't belong to God. You have to understand that. Examine the last days of Saul's life. Book of 1 Samuel, if you want to understand that. Visits the witch of Endor. Goes to the witch because God doesn't talk to him anymore. He's so backslidden, Baptist. Sinful, Pentecostal. Moderately out of line, Methodist. He was so sinful, God wouldn't talk to him anymore. I went to the witch of Endor and she conjured up the ghost of Samuel because Samuel had recently died. He said, Samuel, help me. God doesn't talk to me anymore. And Samuel says to this sinful man who was anointed once the king of Israel, anointed by the Almighty God, belonged to God, who is now in a horribly sinful state to where God won't even communicate with him. Samuel says to this man, it doesn't matter anymore, Saul. Tomorrow you're going to be here with me. Now, Samuel wasn't in the bad side of hell. He was in paradise. He wasn't at the bus station. Tomorrow, you, sinful man, are going to be here with me because you belong to the Almighty God at one time. Nothing can take you out of his hand once you belong to him. Oh, and like the Pentecostals taught me, yes, but you can give your salvation back by going into a life of sin. Well, if David didn't give it back, and if Saul especially didn't give it back, how in the world do you give it back? You cannot. Once God places his mark on you, you belong to him, good, bad, or indifferent. If you stay out of line too long, he will punish you in this flesh. Because you pay for your sins in this flesh. Christ came to make the spirit man holy. You will pay with the rod on your back until he either turns you around or causes your flesh to die for the salvation of your soul. The only way, and Paul gets an argument. They talk about this with Peter in the New Testament, how It speaks in there, forget the book at the moment. It speaks in there about once someone has tasted of the vine and then rejected it, it's impossible for them to renew. And then the Pentecostals hold on to that verse. You have to analyze that verse so tightly between the lines. Someone who tastes of something are not partakers of something. If it had said once someone swallowed the wine and then rejected, then they're lost. then that would say that you could be taken out of God's hand. This is someone who come to the knowledge, just like it says up here a few verses earlier, they knew the truth and they rejected it. They tasted, they seen some miracles of Christ. They tasted a little bit of the Holy Spirit who was working with them, but they could not make the choice and they rejected it. But once you truly belong to Him, and God is the only judge of that, He judges by the heart. You know, I always reference Billy Graham and now Charlie Kirk. I don't know their hearts. You know, God forbid, but they could have been the greatest preacher in the world with a heart absolutely evil and black. I don't believe that. But God is the only one that can see that. You cannot judge by what anyone has done in this life. The judgment will be on the heart. But once you truly belong to Him, once you have followed Him, once you have swallowed the wine, not partake, not just taste it. That's what it says, taste it. That's it. It's like, hey, you know, I don't like banana pudding. Well, just try it. You know, and you stick your tongue on it and go, bleh. You know, you tasted it. Had you stuck your tongue on it and said, oh, that's not bad, and took the whole spoonful and swallowed it, then you would have partaken of the banana pudding. You know, I know it's an analogy, but you got to understand.
Makes sense.
Once you belong to Him, you belong to Him, good, bad, or indifferent. Verse 13, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. And who is he talking about here? The priests and the preachers that do not follow his word. They know, the wise men who know who he really is, but because of politics and religion just cannot focus their heart on him. They go through the motions. But God says here, in the end, the motions will not save you. I don't care if you're wearing the Christ team bowling jacket, unless you were bowling strikes on his alley, you're not getting in. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities. Let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, given us water of gall to drink. Because we have sinned against the Lord. That's an interesting analogy there to what they raised up to Christ when he was thirsty on the cross. And what punishment was Christ being killed for at that moment? The sins of the world. Because we have sinned against the Lord. The last line in that verse. Verse 15. Prophecy of the Antichrist coming from Dan. We look for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, and beheld trouble. The snorting of the horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come, and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. I want you to read that over and over again. Antichrist comes from the tribe of Dan, also has some Roman heritage and Persian heritage. So all those you thinking that Donald Trump is him, it's not possible. He's Irish. So, verse 17, for behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed. They shall bite you, saith the Lord. And there won't be a Moses there with a serpent on a rod, lifting it up in the wilderness, so that you can believe in something, because I just told you a few verses back, you already know the truth in your head. And that was the absolute hypocrisy of the serpent. They wouldn't look to God for their healing. They wouldn't look to God for their salvation. They wouldn't look to God with all their heart. But they'd look to a brass serpent on a pole with faith to heal themselves.
And say, in all seriousness, this is our God that brought us out.
Later, they did worship that thing. It had to be destroyed.
So, yeah. That's so creepy to me.
Yes.
You're like looking at this desk and going, oh, there you are.
And that story of the serpent on the pole explains religion completely. Mm-hmm. God is right there. But let's build a process and a procedure right in front of God, and we'll look to that instead. Mm-hmm. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed. They shall bite you, saith the Lord, when I would comfort myself against sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in the far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Question. Is not her king in her? And this question has been asked so many times throughout the book of Kings and Chronicles. Kings sending for answers from foreign gods. God says, is there not a God in Israel? How can you forget the Almighty God, the Maker, the one who made you? How can you forget? Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities, strange religions? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Ooh. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Sounds to me like the condition of the Jews at the last moment of the tribulation period. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Gilead was known to have this special balm you could put on the eyes. It would heal them. Is there no medicine for this problem that we have of not knowing God? Is there no physician there? Is there no one who can help us to fix it? No, God is the answer. You must get down on your knees and return to Him and follow Him with all your heart. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Because they refuse to follow me with all their heart, God says. I tell you, Christian, Jeremiah is whacking religion with a 2x4 today. And I'm speaking to you holiness people right now. I love you dearly. I was one of you for many, many years. You cannot make this flesh holy. There's nothing you can do. You can go fly to the Holy Land and dip yourself in Jordan 7 times every morning. You're going to be as, this flesh will be as abominable to God as it was before you dipped it. When they immersed you in the baptismal tank, this flesh is still as abominable to God as it was before you were dipped and accepted Christ. It's the spirit man inside who has gotten salvation. Now that you have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, God says, I placed the spirit whom I knew before I placed you in the womb. I placed the spirit in the heart because the mind is contrary to the will of God and this flesh is an abomination. It's the spirit's man's job to gain control of this mind. And that's a daily struggle, Christian. If you're truthful as I am, the little devil on your shoulder, little angel on the other, sometimes they talk over each other. Mm-hmm. I have to break up the arguments.
Hey, guys, wait a minute.
Yes. You first. I don't even want to hear what you have to say, but I know I'm going to hear it anyway because you're going to fire it through my brain.
Yeah.
Even though I said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
It's a daily struggle. The spirit man must take control of the carnal mind where the seed of the serpent resides. Oh, I got no seed of serpent in me. Yes, you do. Who do you think talks to you? Who do you think suggests these things? Where do you think all that arousal comes from?
Yeah.
Lusts. Catch episode 1 on WVFFradio.com to understand. We all have it in us. The biggest problem in Canaan was, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say the sweet tooth.
Yeah.
another one too. Absolutely. Because you get a sweet tooth, and it's like instead of one piece of candy, you need five,
excess.
Seven.
Excess.
But
yeah, it's, see, the serpent loves excess. This mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I let my mind take over, I'd weigh 350 pounds.
Same here. If I could.
I mean, I've been carrying around 30, 40 extra pounds for a couple of years, and I finally got it all off. A little under the weight I was when I got out of the Army, feeling like a young man, and feeling as though my spirit is mostly in control. I'm not arrogant enough to say in control. Because none of us are fully in control. Paul, the apostle, I find the things that I hate, I do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I love, I find myself not doing. But I also understand now, through the blood of Christ, this sin that's within me is the one sinning. The seed of the serpent within me is the one sinning. I sometimes don't have the strength to fight him. That's the whole idea. Follow God with all your heart. Get control of this carnal mind and drive this flesh as straight down the path as you can. And Christ is there with the Holy Spirit to make sure you don't go in the ditch on either side. Yeah, you may come close occasionally. Might even run a wheel in there occasionally, Paul. King David, Dave Stanfield,
John Lemons.
Yeah, I put the whole side in there.
I just had to throw me in there too.
Ice always pulls me out. Yeah, but it's all a matter of the heart, Christian. And if you're clinging to religion, you're driving a dangerous pathway. Accept Christ and the freedom and the absolute purity of his sacrifice, requiring no part of the law, and you will be saved. And good to be here with you on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7, with David and Jonathan in the amazing book of Jeremiah. Don't ever let them tell you the Old Testament does not apply. I can hardly find a verse in this Bible that I cannot apply to the Christian walk. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.